Kia ora koutou, it's 11 on Sunday. You're listening to Artbank.
Hey, morning everyone. Tom Duke here. You're tuned into 95BFM, Artbank. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday out there.
Good morning.
Got Theo in the studio. Your last show of the year before you're off to Wellington. Be sad to see you go. And the wonderful Hannah Valentine.
Hello.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Very exciting. Also in the studio, a band, I'm going to say Fantasing.
Yeah, we're going to have Fantasing coming in later. We're currently doing a residency at the Audit Foundation.
Cool, that should be.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
We're great at radio. So we've got Hannah Valentine, we've got Fantasing coming up. But should we just jump into it?
Yeah, sure.
So Hannah, you've currently got a show on at Tutui.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's a continuation of work you've been doing as part of your Masters.
Yeah, it almost sort of started even before the Masters began, in a way. It was some things that I was sort of working on or had a few ideas towards, and then put in this proposal for the drawing wall space at Tutuhi. So it's sort of been a project that's been developing all year.
And do you want to describe the work? If people were to go to Tutuhi, what would they see?
Yeah, sure. So there are 30 stands on the wall, and it's a series of these kind of cast bronze objects that have all kind of been shaped around my hands. They're sort of based quite loosely on things like weights or hooks, handles, rock climbing holds, things that are all very sort of tactile that you kind of want to be able to pick up and move around. And there's a small piece of text on the wall that invites visitors to participate with the objects and to hold them for the duration of their visit to Te Tuhi.
And to my understanding, part of the impetus for the work is to make attendees in a gallery space continually aware of their sort of body or physicality, even as there's an increasing encroachment of purely digital work in the gallery.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's definitely a reflection on this state of this kind of digital age at the moment, that we live so much in this kind of 2D virtual space. You know, we spend so much time in front of computers, laptops, iPhone screens, all that sort of thing, that are also becoming kind of sites of production for work for artists, kind of replacing the studio in some sense. But kind of thinking about what this very kind of virtual modes of interaction mean for the sort of physical body or the self in space, and wanting to just kind of slow things down and think about what effect that is going to be having or is having already on how we think about our bodies. And
Well, it's quite interesting because I went to Tutuhi and I carried around one of the objects. I can't remember exactly which one, but for I think I was there for about 2 hours. There's a lot of work on there at the moment. It's very dense. After a while you just become kind of acclimatized, and you're like, oh yeah, this arm is just a bit heavier than the other one. And they're quite hefty objects, which I think is... And you chose to use bronze. Do you want to expand on...
Yeah, sure. I liked this. I'd been looking at an artist called Franz West, who'd been using... He'd been creating these works, some of his early pieces, these ideas, works called adaptives, which were meant to be kind of this extension of the body or extending these kind of boundaries of the body. And he's got lots of documentation of friends and people wearing them. They're kind of... big pieces that are based around, you know, maybe jewellery or other things, that kind of this adornment. And they were made out of paper mache, or quite a material that it was quite a sort of throwaway. And I was thinking about wanting to have this longevity of being able to pass things through different sets of hands and being able to make that kind of approach more people. And, trying to think through... something that had a bit more kind of permanence.
So you've got this object history that travels with... It's an object that might have repeated the same journey through the gallery.
Yeah, absolutely, and had these different people have this sort of different experience with it, but it sort of starts to build on that history. And then at the end of the exhibition, I'm not quite sure what will happen with them next, but perhaps there'll be, you know, another life on beyond past that, and, we'll see where to take it.
I think one of...
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, no, no. I'll just jump in and say I was reading a bit about Franz West before you came in, just to sort of get the lowdown. And I was sort of reading about how his work is so associated with Vienna and being almost like the Viennese sausage. Like some of the works kind of look like a sausage. And then he was reading all this sort of psychoanalysis. Like it was all like riffing on lots of the local scenes. Do you see your work as like tied to a place or a specific... place, or is it more like a universal thing?
More a specific time. Like, I think definitely thinking time and thinking about its relevance again now because of how heavily kind of saturated the kind of digital media and those sort of interactions are. So thinking that this way of working and this way of thinking about art as a way of promoting action and this active engagement and things is quite important and quite relevant now.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
One interesting thing to do with that digital landscape is that I've seen, I think, three incarnations of your work at the Elam Professionals Evening, at Tatuhi, and at ArtSpace. And the sort of backdrops you've used have been this blue and green, both of which have, and specifically the shades associated with that kind of digital manipulation with chroma keying. Yeah. What's the...
Yeah, I mean, I think that I wanted to be able to talk about digital space without situating the work specifically in that. You know, I wanted to have this sort of step back from that and have the experience being something that's very much in the here and now, and that you have to be there and present and kind of interacting with to be able to kind of make sense of the work, but then have that very direct relationship to thinking about this in terms of physical sort of digital space and where that kind of sits, I guess, like you're wanting to have that a conversation that was very present in the work.
Cool.
That makes sense.
No, that's really good. Hannah, that's very interesting, and I'll just like to segue into a little song just to keep the listeners you know,
grooving.
Yeah, keeping them grooving. Their brains are going. Now we want to get their feet moving. So, yeah, you're tuned into 95BFM Sunday morning Art Bank Radio. Here we go. It's James Brown. BFM.
Now here's a story about a great big old giant. Woo! My money, my honey, and me. After digging all the stories about the West the cats have told, me and my baby cut out there, dig us up a mess of gold. The minute we found a buried treasure, I looked up to see a great big old 8-foot giant looking dead on me. And that dude, you know, and that dude, I didn't have no more eyes for digging up no more gold. No, 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 no. Grab what I had in one hand and my baby by the other. A giant grabbed my coattail and said, don't you go another further. I ripped off my coat when I was shaking the seam. But what really got my coat was when I heard my baby scream. And that dude, ooh-wee, and that dude, 'cause I ain't going nowhere. Stop dead in my tracks. As much as I hate the idea, I went crawling on back. I said, look here, Mr. Giant, as I raised slowly on one knee, I'll do anything you say, hand my baby to me. And that dude, and that dude, he said, you bust that loose and I'll set your baby free. No, 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 no. I said, I'll make you a proposition. It's up to you to choose. It's either your money or your honey. One of the two you'll have to lose. I said, Mr. Giant, I want to thank you for taking a load off my mind. But when it comes to choosing between my money and my honey, I take my money. What I'm saying, I mean my honey every time. And that dude, you know, and that dude, now the giant got the money. And I got my honey, and everybody's feeling fine. No, 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 no.
You're listening to Art Bank.
You are indeed. Art Bank on a Sunday with Theo and Hannah Valentine in the studio. So we'll leave it over to you guys to continue your conversation.
So Hannah, you were just saying while we're off the air that your work, which is currently at Tatui, is inspired by a sci-fi novel.
Yeah, I'd just finished reading this novel by Anna Smale, who's a New Zealand author. It's called The Chimes. And the protagonists in that story they carry around these objects with them, almost in like this memory bag type way. And these objects are kind of the only way for them to access their memories or access these different experiences in their life that kind of hold their identity in a way, that they're sort of governed by a ruling force that is almost like wiping their memory. There was something about this idea of carrying these objects with them and the sort of power that could hold, and the sort of ideas or references or things that they could get from these objects, I found quite interesting. And the idea sort of actually developed a little bit from that. It was kind of a starting point, I guess.
Do you have any of your own sort of objects that you carry around in your day-to-day life? Or?
The ones that I was working on for the show, I spent so much time with, because the process to create them is quite intensive. There's just a really long kind of dipping process. Everything was molded with a really soft wax by hand and things. So I feel like I've spent a really long time with each of the objects already that's out there. No, I don't have any particular objects. I am a bit of a fiddler. I do like to hold on to things, often with bangles and things. But no particular one that I've carried around with me.
I think it's quite interesting because it feels like a lot of people at the moment are responding to science fiction, or there's like an increased relevance at the moment.
Yeah.
The last 5 episodes of Art Bank we've had someone on who was talking about a specific science fiction text.
Yeah.
What do you think of
it? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've gone in and out of a few different references of science fiction, or just fiction in general. And I think it's quite a nice way. I mean, there's sort of ideas of utopia or these different landscapes and things that I think art has this way of opening up to these kind of different worlds or different experiences, or wanting people to experience something beyond the kind of everyday, I guess. And so, there's a bit of an affinity with it there.
Yeah, I guess that science fiction is like something that can actually deal with big changing sort of fields and science, and I guess we're in an era now when, I don't know, going through like global warming or some of the big things in the world that are happening now, maybe science fiction's got the tools to deal with some of those big things as opposed to some sort of like, I don't know, I'm more thinking of like the novel or like, but also maybe like art practices from earlier eras. Mm. I don't know.
Reading something quite interesting recently as well, actually, about how animation can be quite a good tool to break down some of these barriers and almost get into that kind of sci-fi world as well. Just thinking about kind of using comedy as a tool to be able to talk about things that are how it's a very kind of, I guess, sort of standard approach, but just getting into different spaces and kind of mashing spaces in 2D, 3D, and interesting. Side note.
There's like a heightened language that allows you to deal directly with the kind of abstract ideals.
Yeah.
That, when you're rooted in realism, can be a bit more difficult because you have to make things conform to a logic or a physics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And tell us about the, I know your art is made kind of for an audience interaction. Can you sort of reminisce about some of the audience interactions that you've seen? Like, have people really engaged with the works in the way that you thought they might? Or?
Yeah, there have been actually some really nice ones with some of the younger people who've been going through as well. I mean, Tatui is a really great space in that there are lots of community groups that use the space. There's obviously the different exhibitions and things that are all on at the same time. And having girls kind of coming out in their ballerina tutus and sort of picking up these weights and doing a little almost like action performance in the space while I was kind of still setting a few things up and stuff was a really nice moment.
Cool.
As well as, I guess, people who I saw at the opening and things kind of wearing them or holding them or having them, and you almost see like a cluster of people who've all got them together, and there's this sort of strange kind of bonding thing that's happening or creating this group or Yes, the space around it, which is interesting.
I think there's sort of like an irony where it's a work that you get to see people explicitly engaging with, but the mark of engagement is almost the more and more disengaged, the more it becomes an organic part of someone's method of interacting.
Yeah, definitely.
And because you were talking earlier about that, the collaborative quality of the work, the necessity of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there's this idea that, you know, an artwork can't, you can't get sort of absolute meaning from any single work of art, but that the viewer's interaction is always kind of integral to that experience, and whether that's an indirect engagement or whether that's just at an intellectual level. But here I'm kind of thinking about it in a very physical kind of direct sense, and that engagement or almost sort of, collaboration with the viewers, what makes the work make sense, so...
Very good. Should we do another little tune just to keep it funky?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
You're listening to Art Bank.
That was Swallow the Key by Las Titas, an Auckland band. Nice to hear them again. I haven't heard them for a few years now. Art Bank on Sunday. Theo is talking to Hannah Valentine.
So you were saying that you've had a series of sort of interesting collaborations, particularly in relation to the art space show, New Perspectives?
Yeah, I just thought there was something quite nice that happened with that show when we were installing. There were, it was quite a long lead-in period for the install. There was sort of at least a week or so where people were able to be in the space and be working on things. And a couple of the artists were sort of responding quite directly to other people's work in the space and what was going on. And there was just quite a nice sort of sense of community and conversation and things that were happening while that show was being put together. So there was sort of an instance where the artist Tekalu Clark was sort of having a conversation with him and some of the work that he was doing, and elements of our work sort of ended up getting most embedded in together. Like there were sections of, he's had these kind of quite organic cutouts that were painted with this resine digital green that I'd been using as this the sort of backdrop for my work in that piece. And I just thought it was quite a nice moment sort of, thinking about ways to go forward and kind of encouraging this almost sort of co-authorship of things that are happening.
And you've got some a residency coming up that you were
Yeah, got a residency happening in February that I'm pretty excited about over at the Te Rāringa project in Rarotonga. So it was a space that was started by Sam Thomas and Puari Tanner, who have been pretty active in artist-run spaces and things throughout Auckland. They've just got the space Mirage, which is coming up. They've got their last show, which is opening next week. But
there's a great building on that site in Rarotonga where Sam's built this huge long house. The artist studio is a long house made out of an upside down waka.
Yeah.
With like a door in the side.
Yeah, it's so good.
Very jealous of you heading over there. It sounds really cool. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Went over with an artist earlier in the year just to have a little look at the site and have a look at the space. I've spent a couple of days over there kind of preparing for the residency in February. But yeah, it's a very, very cool space. It's the catamarans are a great addition.
Yeah.
I think they got for like a box of beers or something as well.
Wow. Yeah. Stunning, eh?
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Grip Slips, A Space, A Memory is open until February. And everyone should go along and see it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Hannah.
Thank you. Bitch, you thirsty,
please grab Sprite. Laneway presents Long Beach's finest, Vince Staples, December 7th at the Power Station. Too fast, I'm too crazy. The breakout star of this year's Laneway Festival returns to Auckland to headline a show of his own. Don't miss Vince Staples, the best young rapper currently dropping bars. I never ran from nothing but the police. Vince Staples, December 7th at the Power Station. Tickets on sale now from AAA Ticketing or laneway.co.nz.
Stop whatever you're doing and open your damn ears, because you're about to hear about the biggest damn giveaway that we've ever done. It's 95BFM Super Summer Sorted Prize Pack. You'll get a year's supply of Karma Cola Dry and burgers from Lord of the Fries.
An open water dive course for two from Dive HQ West Haven.
Wow, also a year's supply of Natricare Organic Tampons.
A Fuji single speed bike from T. White's Bikes.
Wowee, oh, that's a $500 summer survival kit from the Beer Spot.
Double passes to Wonder Garden Laneway Explore and Womack.
And best of all, flights for two on Hawaiian Airlines to Hawaii and Portland in the newly dystopian United States of Donald Trump. Plus there's heaps more good stuff, so stay tuned for details. This is absolutely real, and all you need to do is go to our shiny new website at 95bfm.com, where you can actually read stuff now, and enter. It's freaking easy, and you're a nutter if you don't go there right now. 95BFM Super Summer Sorted Prize Pack. It's massive and you should want it. Well, I want it. Seriously, I'm really annoyed that I can't win just because I'm a staff member. It's bullcrap. But still, you can win. So go to the freaking website and register and just cross your fingers, because this is massive. You should want it. Seriously, it's a good prize. Put it in the album of the week.
Where are we?
I think you mean, when are we? But also I think you mean, where are we? Because we're in Japan, but we're also in the distant past.
Wow.
This is the very day young Rick Breeze witnessed a powerful spring wind carrying cherry blossom petals in such a beauteous way that his weather obsession was born. Look, there he is! Pass me the camera!
Oh,
there's no memory card in this.
You told me to bring a camera, you didn't say anything about a memory card.
God damn it. Oh, crap, he's seen us!
Disney.
Oh, I'm so freaking shamed by you.
Shut up.
Spring is here, so it's time to spring forward into a decent weather forecast. Catch Rick Breeze, the captain of the cold front, every morning on breakfast, where he'll rain down meteorological insights. Rick Breeze and the BFM Weather Report, every morning on breakfast with updates throughout the day. Proudly brought to you by Pro Gear, professional photographics. They've got the cameras and accoutrements to make all your shots primo. Check them out at progear.co.nz.
Hey, you're tuned into Art Bank Sunday morning. We've got an exciting second half of the show coming up with Fantasing in Studio.
Yeah!
Woohoo! Exciting times. Before we get into that, I should just say the Summer Sorted Super Prize Pack giveaway is coming up. The biggest giveaway on 95BFM for many years. It includes flights to Hawaii, Portland, Oregon, and America, thanks to Hawaiian Airlines, a year's supply of burgers from Lord of the Fries, two open water paddy dive courses at Dive HQ West Haven, a year's surprise supply of Natricare Organic Tampons, a 500 summer $500 summer survival kit from the Beer Spot and a Fuji single speed bike from T. White's Bikes.
Whoa.
And a year's supply of Karma Cola, Coffee Supreme delivered to your doorstep every week, 6 months of Oob organic ice cream, double passes to your favourite summer festivals, Wonder Garden, WOMAD, Splore and WOMAD, a $500 voucher for Recycle Boutique, a $500 voucher for Gull, a full service from Vic Auto, an Xbox One thanks to Orcon, double pass to Flix, every Flix screening in 2017, complete Studio Ghibli collection on DVD thanks to Madman, registration for the 48-hour 2017 competition, vouchers from Southbound Records, Mezzi Bar and the Mexican Cafe, and you'll be on the door for every single King's Arms gig in 2017. All you have to do is head to our brand new website, 95bfm.com, and register to be in the draw to win. Everyone who enters gets a B-card number reserved for them, so stay tuned for more exciting news to come. The winner will be drawn live on Breakfast December the 23rd. And with that, we'll carry on with the Art Bank show. But wow, what a prize pack.
What a prize.
Yeah. So, fantasizing.
Gobsmacked.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the studio. You folks are at Audio Foundation over summer, is that right?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
One week down, 1 week to go.
Okay. How's it going so far?
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Have you managed to sort of rock out, made some new tunes?
Yeah, we've cried. Well, I've cried.
Yeah, like, okay.
I've cried.
What kind of tears? Are they sadness or?
Decompressing tears, okay. I think. It's been a bit of a year, so like, you know, everyone's just like putting it all out there.
It's been one of those ones, 2016. Has it been specifically a bit of a year for you guys or just in the world in general?
I think both.
Personal
and
micro and macro, you know.
Sure Yeah. Hey, I've got a tune lined up, one of your tunes. Fantasizing is how would you describe yourself as a band? Can I do that hard question?
Famous art rock collective.
Cum Bang Collective.
Did someone say Cum Bang? Yeah, Cum Bang Collective. Yeah.
Oh, well.
I didn't say that, but that's okay. It's all right. We can say that now.
Yeah.
Pan-regional,
right. Regional. What regions are we talking?
Down south.
Bit of Gore, bit of Palmy.
Bit of Palmy.
Bit of Stokes Valley.
Canterbury.
Welcome to the Big Smoke team. Yeah. Welcome to the
Thanks.
Big Smoke.
I know, I'm really getting off on your mounds.
Okay. My mouth's out. Okay, well, here's Art Cloak fantasizing in the studio. Thanks very much for coming in.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bank.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Fantasing with... What was that song called? I didn't quite...
Art Cloak.
Art Cloak. Yeah. Very nice. Fantasing's a feminist rock... What was it?
Feminist Art Rock Collective.
Feminist Art Rock Collective. That's powerful. I like it. And they're in Auckland for 2 weeks. What are you sort of doing while you're up here? Is there any sort of specific...
Shall we begin by... We've got all four members. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. Hi, I'm Sarah Jane Patton, and I'm a member of Fantasing, and I'm also a practicing artist.
And she plays recorder.
And I play recorder, and I do some singing and some writhing. That's my kind of main sort of modes in the band.
Important.
Sarah often performs from a mat, like kind of like a flying carpet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the front of the stage.
Cool.
Like a flying carpet that doesn't fly.
Yeah.
Potentially could.
Yeah.
One gig. Yeah.
Levitation.
Hi, kia ora. My name is Beck Coogan. I'm a Taurus. I play axe in the band, you know, guitar, with one finger mostly. And I do other art stuff as well. But at the moment, I'm really keen to learn how to hunt. So if anyone out there wants to go hunting, I'm real keen.
With the axe or?
Nah, probably with, yeah, I'm not sure what I'll use. Yeah. But I will get there.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Gemma. I play bass and cry. And I'm living in Christchurch at the moment, which is kind of weird because I grew up there and then denied I live from there. And now I'm back there. Yeah, and I don't know, that's it.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, I do art sometimes as well.
And you do radio.
Oh, yeah, I work at RDU down in Christchurch.
Oh, cool.
I know, that's why I've been looking at all the computers. I'm like, what do you do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, nice to have an RDU friend up here. That's very cool.
Hey.
Hey, I'm Claire Harris. I play drums, and I'm from Gore, and I'm also an artist.
Cool.
And a timetabler.
Yeah.
I'm organizer. Yeah. I organize. You organize.
Yeah.
I don't know. We all have like floating roles.
I don't organize. So just to be clear, Sarah here don't organize.
Yeah. You'll be food provider soon, Beck, with your the hunting.
Yeah, I'll be the forager.
Yeah.
There's a really cool show on Māori TV that Julian Arahanga, you know, Sonny, you know, from Nick from Once Warriors, you know. Anyway, Uncle Bully from Once Warriors. Anyway, he's put together this really cool hunting show on Māori television about, I think it's hunting without, like, guns, maybe? Like, maybe it's with bows and arrows or something? I don't know. He was telling me about it. I haven't actually watched it. I've just seen the, like, adverts for it. So when I say it's really cool, the idea of it in my head is really cool. You should check it out, maybe.
Cool. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I can imagine with the guitar it will be a really good episode. Yeah.
Yeah. I could take my axe to practice.
Yeah. Nice. So not much to hunt up here in Auckland. K-Road's looking decidedly out of deer and goats and things. So what are you going to be doing up here? Is there any particular purpose of being at Audio Foundation, or are you just kind of...
We're there for 2 weeks. We got a residency at the beginning of the year, and we got 2 weeks to basically have focused fantasing time, which is pretty special. And so we're writing. We're working on... music, it's just sort of like a 2-week space where we can focus in our fantasing way.
It's a really amazing opportunity for all four of us to be in the same space at the same time.
In the same city even.
Yeah.
So it hardly ever happens. So we're definitely using it as a chance to just go full into making new material and channeling what we feel like we really need to say in this point in time. Yeah.
Do you have when you all get back together, are there any rituals, band rituals that you kind of go through?
I think often we have to go through like a kind of like individual therapy sessions.
Yeah.
Where each of us focuses on whatever, like, you know, without it going in any order at the moment. So far we've done me and Gemma. I don't know, have we? Oh, and I think we might have done a little bit of a coke. Yeah, a little bit of Beck. I don't know if we got to Claire. Yeah, have we?
No. I'm kind of in an ongoing slow motion crisis.
So we have to like do that. We have to go through the kind of like, oh my god, this happened to me, and I'm not coping with life, and I can't do anything. And how do you? I don't understand. What? No, don't know. And then once we get through that, then that's off. Whew, a little bit off the top of it, whoever, you know, our heads, and we can get into the
the writing zone, and then it can get quite intense because sometimes we we're all quite how can I put it, we're not like, I wouldn't call us, I think we're all ambitious in a way, like we're all ambitious that we want to make the best thing.
Sure.
Ambitious to make the best thing. So we can get quite intense about getting to that best thing point.
And is your idea of the best thing often a shared idea, or is it often quite different?
It seems to be shared, eh? Like we sort of agree when something seems good.
Eventually.
I mean, at the moment we're quite focused on thinking about storytelling. And that's like a real tricky thing to kind of narrow down, like what stories are you going to tell, how are you going to tell those stories. Claire's got some real great inspiration going down for the stories.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. One of our rituals this time was a massive YouTube video party of Loretta Lynn and Dolly Parton songs.
Great.
Yeah, that's been pretty good. Like you've forgotten, though, the real core, like...
Yeah.
Song that we had to watch at the very, very beginning a couple of days ago.
Drunk on a Plane?
Yeah, Drunk on a Plane.
Yeah.
And these are all songs that have real stories to them.
Yeah. Have you come across Drunk on a Plane?
No.
Yeah. Oh, see, I feel like if you haven't come across Drunk on a Plane, you need to just do a little bit of a YouTube. I think it's had 46 million views, so you won't be alone in watching it.
Okay.
Claire found it by Googling country bangers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're really interested in narrative-based music and
those moments of real, I don't know how to say this word, specificity.
Yeah.
Specificness.
Yeah.
No, how do you turn it specificity?
I reckon it's okay. Good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even
if
it's not right, it sounds. I've believed you.
Yeah.
I should have just gone ahead with confidence.
Yeah.
My only YouTube coming across of Loretta Lynn was this documentary I somehow got to about the Loretta Lynn motocross extravaganza, where she's put on a motocross festival every year, and it's like the biggest motocross festival in America, and people drive from all over the country to get there. And the documentary starts off being like, who is Loretta Lynn, blah blah blah, and it doesn't answer any of those questions. And then it just carries on about motocross for like kids crying and stuff.
She's amazing. A legend.
Yeah, very very special, eh? Yeah. Very special. It was building up for an interview with her, and she just never appeared again in the documentary. I don't know. But anyway. Cool.
Then that's one of the great things about Loretta and Dolly and Buffy St. Marie, is that they always found ways of channeling their profile back into the communities they came from.
Yeah.
Mm. Like Dolly Parton with Dollywood, and Buffy St. Marie with all the educational stuff that she's done with North American First Nations children.
But it's I don't know, just going back to that kind of core thing of it being really super accessible at the same time. I think it's kind of appealing as well. I like the music that's really kind of, and I think maybe that's what not that we're country music. We're fascinated by country music, and I think maybe that's one of the things that's so appealing about country music, is that it is really accessible. And we've sort of been talking a lot about about finding some kind of, well, I don't know, we were talking yesterday maybe about finding some kind of like something that creates some sort of even playing field, or like not like positioning the artist as somehow kind of like this superior like arbitrator of culture or person who thinks that they have their observations of others communicated through their art somehow means that they have a, you know, there's something about country music kind of that equalises, that breaks that down. Sure. And that's in that narrative-based stuff, I guess, you know, telling personal stories.
The kind of total ownership of your own background, and then also the way that that specificity is somehow more relatable than just, you know, generic... generic waffly lyrics.
Although they also have their place, of course. A bit of generic waffly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't go past generic waffly for inspirational anthems. But
and can you? Is it easier maybe with country music to do a narrative than say prog rock? Would you say, or is there a definite space?
Prog rock's the home of stories about dragons and wizards.
there's room for narrative in every genre. Our style definitely doesn't have a country music sound. It's more like we're just taking that kind of idea of the narrative, the specific narrative, and playing with it at the moment.
I think sometimes it's good to draw inspiration from sources that actually aren't really, that you necessarily are even like, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I think that's just really important, just to go with your instincts and be drawn to learn from things that you feel like are offering you something at that time. And so I guess we've just found ourselves listening to a whole lot of country, which is quite sort of surprising, but then really not.
Yeah.
But I mean, because I mean, I think some of our songs are actually really prog rock. So maybe we're turning we're the real life narrative prog rock band.
We have at a few points over the last week been dabbling with the idea of a rock opera about the seven stages of grief.
Sign me up, please.
You may notice a direct link between that and the need for the therapy decompressing situation that happens whenever we first get together.
I did smell the whiff of a crossover there. Hey, I've got Buffy St. Marie's song Up Where We Belong here, ready to play.
I'm an officer and a gentleman.
I'm gonna leave the
she won an Oscar for this one.
Really? Yeah. I'm gonna leave the mics on and you guys can sing along if you
we're all in this together.
If you're out there gardening away, use your trowel as a mic.
Yeah, exactly.
I wrote this little melody sitting in my piano one day.
Or your jandal. If you're out there on the streets with your jandals on.
This is the songwriter's version of Up Where We Belong.
Buffy St. Marie.
You're listening to Art Bank.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff there. That was Fantasing singing Buffy St. Marie, Up Where We Belong. I hope you're all singing along there at home. Wow. Are you guys feeling it after that?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's like, it's just the little subtle differences in the love lift us up. Not love lifts us up. It's just like, it's asking love to lift us up, not lifting us up. It's like, come on, love.
Yeah.
We would like to say a huge thank you to everyone that contributed to our boosted.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
Which has meant that we were actually able to come up here and Airbnb a place. Instead of sleeping on friends' couches in different corners of Auckland.
Yeah.
Or sleeping at the Audio Foundation, which doesn't have showers for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which may have also been... And also a huge thank you to the Audio Foundation. Who's supported by the Auckland City Council for this artist residency, which we're really, really lucky to be able to take up.
Yeah.
The Audio Foundation really rules.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say.
Thanks, Jeff and Sam.
Yeah.
I like this. It's you seem very supported by a good community that is behind Fantasing, and I saw your show down in Christchurch, the physics room. And what a crew down there as well, eh? How was your time down there?
Emotional. It was emotional.
Yeah.
It was an amazing time over summer, and we were kind of coming and going. I was there most of the time.
I was on opiates, so
it's all that kind of vague, really.
Two of us. Would you say two of us had kind of strange health crises going on at that time?
Sure. Yeah.
And one leading to opiates.
So medium times in Christchurch, was it?
It was still amazing.
It's still amazing.
It's one of the things that we really rely on residencies for, is because, you know, we live in different places, we have complicated lives, we have various physical challenges, we have various economic challenges. Any opportunity to have a space provided to us to be together and to have that time to work on stuff is just really crucial.
We're incredibly lucky that these things exist, you know?
Yeah.
And we made some... I think we made some really good art at that physics room residency. Yeah. It was great. So thank you, Melanie.
I thought so too. I really liked the miniature Stonehenge. It sort of was almost Spinal Tap like.
That was our recreation.
That was the shag pile.
Yeah, that was our recreation of Shag Rock.
Shag Rock. Oh, right.
Which is no longer Shag Rock, it's Shag Pile.
Shag Pile.
And so then we presented it on Shag Pile.
Yeah.
Because all these things seem to, you know, make obvious, like,
of course, yeah. Yeah,
sense.
Mm. What happened to that?
It's in the basement of my old flat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, somebody's got a shag pile somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Very good. And yeah, the video that came out of there was quite cool. There was some sort of silhouettes on top of... Actually, you like the mounds, don't you?
The shag pile.
What else? Yeah, the mound of rubble that you were standing on top for, sort of falling off. Was that right? You were up there with the axe, I think.
Yeah, that was me with my axe. It was an axe moment on a mound. Very good.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
And is there going to be a sort of music video in the making while you're around here, or is it more writing?
It's a writing time.
We've got stuff coming up that we need to make more videos for. Can we? I don't know if we can talk about that. It's in Wellington.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you're sort of, you're coming from the smaller towns to the big cities. What are you bringing with you in terms of feels and
we actually kind of live in the big city. We just reference our roots. I live 15 minutes walk from the CBD, so I can't like pretend that I don't.
Was living down in Otaki for 4 months before I came up to Auckland, that was pretty, that re-established a bit of that small town connection before coming here. And there was a mound there as well.
Right.
Really?
There's quite an amazing mound in Otaki. Like, it's linked to a Catholic church, and there's a lot of nuns buried on top of it.
Really?
Yeah. And it's also like walking onto a giant Colin McCann sort of landscape painting, because there is actually a giant crucifix coming out of the ground and in a macrocarpa tree. Like, it is probably one of the most dense and freaky mounds I've ever been on.
Right.
Where is it?
It's just, I can't remember the name of the road, but it's like north, I think it's a St. Mary's Church. Sorry, forgive me, Otaki, I should know.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's a 5 minute drive from the main part of the old, like the I would say the proper Otaki, which is like not the state highway drag, but just the little township that's down.
In between the beach and the state highway.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, cool. Check that out.
Good mound, yeah. I can feel a whole new radio show coming on. Mound, mound chat.
Great mound,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think through all of them, but I shouldn't. I'll keep my mind on the task. I was sort of seeing that you were quite into this Greek prog rock band. 666, is that ringing any bells? Aphrodite's Child. Can you just totally.
Well, that was actually a bit of a rock opera conceptual album. That
album. It was. I got into that because my partner was really, really obsessed with Aphrodite's Child for a while, and kind of
the guy in it. It's not this Vangelis.
Demi Russo, Vangelis, and another Greek guy. Mm. All with beards. There's a lot of beards, and they're Demi Russo. I think it's how he says his last name. Yeah. One of his most fascinating kind of outputs, if you will, is his weight loss book. With the recipes and the amazing pictures of the food. Tom Watson from Cassette gave it to Luke, my partner, at some point. We've still got it in our house. It's called someone look it up for us and tell us what it's called. Okay. It's got the best name, and unfortunately for Demi it didn't really pan out, and I think his obesity was one of the factors in his untimely death, but poor dude, complications, but the food pictures are really great because the styling of them is not particularly contemporary, shall we say. So I think maybe they actually did make the food and photograph it. I think it might have been what happened, as opposed to, all the things they do now to make the food look not like it's been sitting there being photographed.
It wasn't like sculpted and varnished and stuck together with toothpicks.
Nah, it was.
It was more from the era of like
a question of cookery. A Question of Weight, 1982.
Okay.
Demi Russo, A Question of Weight.
So cool. That's a beautiful, deeper meaning, isn't it? He could be
talking about the matter of stars, the density of carbon. That's how those Greeks roll, man.
I can see why you guys cry at your gigs. I've got a tear to my eye right now.
Aphrodite's Child, pretty amazing prog rock band.
We're pretty excited about the conference that they're setting up for here at the moment.
At
the university campus. It's called something like The Life and Death of Massive Stars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So like real stars, not just these human weirdos, but actually gaseous giants, man.
I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, we're just gaseous giants.
Yeah. Could be another band name,
actually. 4 billion-year-old carbon.
Yeah.
Well, time is almost up, and I would like to say a big farewell to Fantasing. Okay. You've got a gig coming up, Saturday or Sunday.
Friday or Saturday.
Next week.
The 9th or the 10th.
And it'll be an early gig, like it'll probably be like, 7:30 or 8 p.m. gig at the Audio Foundation, but we just need to confirm whether it's Friday or Saturday.
Okay. Yep. Well, we'll be looking out for that. And on that note, I'd just like to say a big farewell to Theo, who's off to Wellington.
We live there.
We're from there.
Sorry, Auckland, but what are you doing, Theo? What are you going to come do?
No, I'm just coming home for Christmas. I'll be back next year.
All right.
It feels like a big departure because it's going to be me on my own up here from now on. Anyway.
That's what I feel. We feel
well, Wellington at Christmas can be a bit like this, just empty, isn't it?
Yeah. Lyle Bay goes off in the sun, though. I love it. Okay. Anyway, ad time now. So that was Art Bank for the week. Matua, and we'll catch you up next week.
That was Art Bank. Ma te wa. Bitch, you thirsty, please.